The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of Kevin Jordan or his guests. These gardening tips and suggestions may work for you, as well as those from alternative sources. When using any garden products or tools, read and follow all label directions. And learn how to make your yard summer strong at bewatersmart.info.
The Green Acres Garden Podcast is the podcast dedicated to helping gardeners hone their growing skills while we celebrate our love of plants. So whether you're new to growing or a seasoned gardener, you're sure to learn something new. Join the fun as we have conversations with world-class growers, passionate green thumbs, and professional garden experts from Green Acres Nursery and Supply. Listen every week. We'll answer questions you didn't know you had. Well, all right, let's start the show. Welcome, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gardeners of all ages. Welcome to the show. This is the Green Acres Garden Podcast, the home for gardeners and green thumbs alike. I'm your host, Kevin Jordan, and reminding you that, you know, plants won't solve all your problems, just most of them. Back in studio for another great episode. It's March Madness. Let's check in with Austin, the illustrated man, our audio ace. How's it going there, Austin?
Hey, Kevin, I'm doing good. Illustrated man. Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh, you know it, bud. Spill the beans.
What are you talking about?
Austin did a thing. Austin did a thing, and I want you to share it with the rest of us, please.
I want to share it, too. I'm actually really excited about it. I got a new tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how people feel about this, but I like tattoos. I have a few. And I got my first ever plant tattoo.
Yeah, now you're in the club, dude.
I am.
Welcome.
Because you have a big tree on you.
I do. So not visible to my students or anything like that. I'm kind of low-key. God, years ago, I got one on my rib cage, a big oak tree.
It's big.
Cool. That was in my early 20s. I was dumb and naive. But whatever. It may, you know, it's one of those things, but I love plants. I love trees. It's
a lot
who
better
I am.
Than my first tattoo. My first one is not very great, but this one I'm very excited about, and it's got a little bit of humor in it too.
It does.
And I've been wanting a snake plant tattoo since our first episode.
It's one of the best plants.
You gifted me in a cup of noodles a snake plant.
Yeah, the Sansevieria.
I've been taking care of it ever since.
It's still going?
2.5 years. I still have it.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're bulletproof.
Well, you know, I think it could be doing a little better, but I still have it. It's alive, and I wanted a snake tattoo, so I got that on my arm. I have a snake plant inside a pot, but the little leaves are little snakes.
Yeah.
Instead of plants, they're little snakes with their tongues out. They're cute little snakies.
You know what? It's funny. You're in the tribe now, and I see a lot of plant mommies and daddies rolling around the nursery with a you know a little blossom here,
yeah.
A little branch there, maybe a butterfly or... It's kind of nice to see people who are just, you know, fired up and passionate about growing and want the whole world to know it, whether, you know, so to each their own, but I'm happy for you.
No, I am too.
It
so
tells a story, man.
I'm glad you like it. And I think I'm going to get some more too. Some more plant.
They're
plant
slightly
things.
Addictive from what I hear. Right on, man. Well, we got a doozy of an episode this week. The calendar may not show it. But the sweat on my brow will tell you that it's getting warm outside.
It's not even that hot yet, but it is warming up.
Yeah, so we're just getting into March. Things are starting to heat up. Maybe we'll have some cool weather, maybe some more wet weather. Who knows? But it's definitely the unofficial, I think, start to spring. Just because I've noticed, like I said, the calendar doesn't show it. It tells me we're in winter, but I'm looking at a lot of the plants in the garden. They're either blooming, like camellias around town right now are just going ape. They're going nuts right now. They are just your neighbor's camellia. I can't even see its leaves. It's just a ball of pink. You see all these blossoms. They're beautiful.
So cool.
The azaleas, the Chinese fringe flowers, those lower petalums are going wild right now too. Everything that was dormant, crepe myrtles, there's lagostromia. We have a plenty of those in our pollinator gardens at our school, and they are kind of firing back. You're seeing all of those lifeless branches that were dormant are now kind of getting all these little growths and leaves and those little, you know, little buds are starting to form and they're leafing out right now. So it's that time of the year. May not be time to kind of put all your warm season crops in and plants in, but there's so much to do. Today's episode, we're going to go over a whole, you know, whole array of things that we need to be considering, focusing on right now in the garden. Where we're at right now, we have the perspective of zone 9B people. So long growing season, nice, long, warm, dry summers, and it kind of starts to begin right about now. So there's so much to be done, a lot that you can do. So I'm really excited about this week's episode.
Me too. This is one of my favorite kinds of episodes where it's very informative about what we should be doing in our garden right now. So Kevin, if you want to start us off, What is the first thing that our listeners should be thinking about in Zone 9B?
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean we're a little bit ahead of some of the other people?
Well, everyone, wherever you live in the nation, you're going to have different climate. So maybe your season, some folks, if you're up the hill in higher elevation or higher latitude, it's probably a bit cooler, a bit colder. Your spring hasn't sprung just yet.
Just yet.
Okay. We were talking with our producer, and in some locations, they've already hit 90s into 100s some locations. Not near us. So it's really, that's why it's so important where if you move somewhere or you live somewhere, kind of talk to people or do your research and find out what is your growing zone. And that essentially tells you, you know, when you can plant things and what you can plant. And so for 9B, nice long growing season, which is great. We love it.
What do you think is the first thing we should tackle now for us?
There's so much to do. So for me right now, my own helm, I put in a rose garden this last fall or this just recently. I mean, I planted it, kind of got it going, ripped out all the turf. And so I had to convert the irrigation. So there's a lot of irrigation work that I think if you do it, if you need to do it, do it now.
Don't do it when it's hot.
It's not much fun doing when it's 90, 95, 100.
That's
so
not good.
That is things like just maybe unclogging any sprinklers that maybe have some debris in there if they're not spraying like they used to, or even kind of switching them out so they have new rotor heads, those MP ones.
Oh, yeah. Those
things
are
like
the new cool ones.
They're like, pretty cool.
They're like smart tech somehow.
Instead of putting out like a finer mist of water, it's kind of more concentrated jets. I've noticed that when I have them in my backyard, I have to run the system a little bit longer duration, but not quite as frequently. I get a nice deeper watering. The water, I get less evaporation at the surface.
Oh, it's better penetration into the soil.
For sure. And then so ultimately means less water wasted. So those can be things that you could think about. Also, when I first put in a landscape, sometimes you notice you might have a dead spot in some areas where maybe water isn't hitting. So maybe you can make some adjustments there. But what I've really been busy doing in that rose garden is converting it from a sprinkler because I don't want all that top spray just soaking all those leaves
the time when
it gets warm.
Drip.
You know it, sir.
Yes.
So I've been kind of converting it and transitioning from traditional sprays to drip. Some people might think that stuff's kind of difficult. Super easy, barely an inconvenience. Really easy to do. I've been removing all those old risers. I picked one that I wanted to keep as my water source for this garden bed. The rest I cut off and then capped. So just they're still there. They're in the ground, but now they're capped off. They're not leaking water, and I don't need them anymore. We've kind of abandoned them for the time being. They'll still be there if I need them. And then I have one water source, and you can put an adapter on that. That'll allow you to go from that hose line into a drip. You can there's pressure reducers. There's inline filters that I added. And I like to even add a little valve on each line so I can have a little bit more control over.
Oh, cool.
I can have one area of the garden that still gets watered. Another area I can turn off completely if I need to. So there's a lot of versatility that you can kind of add into the system. Little, you know, you get one long big, I did the half inch tube. And then from that, I did the spaghetti tubing and just some drip tube where we have actually has this little tube that has the emitters built into it already.
Little holes punched
in
it.
Yep, and I do rings around each plant. I think in there I have 9 roses and I have a nice little apple tree in there, a pink lady.
Oh, cool.
That I hope grows up into a nice pink lady that is nice and mature and provides us with delicious fruit. I cannot wait. Which is kind of interesting is roses and apples, same family.
Is it?
Yeah.
I
think they're related.
How did I not know that?
Yeah.
That's actually cool. So you already got all that work done?
It's all done. It took
wow.
me I think last Saturday I did it. It didn't take me all day. I think I spent more time at the nursery and I ran into a friend who was like, I wonder if Kevin's down here. And yeah, I was there. me and my boy were down there doing some shopping. It was so fun. But then I got, you know, you get into a nice long conversation. I spent more time just at the nursery chatting people up than I actually did converting the drip.
Right. On. I love hearing that. So you always say how easy it is. That's great to hear. You're able to knock that out in less than a day.
If I could do it, anybody listening to this can definitely excel at it.
And then I just also want to remind, if you didn't catch it, well, you went kind of fast when you said that MP rotator head.
That's matched precipitation.
Exactly. I wanted to say what that stood for. So that's cool. I just want to make sure people know what that is.
And you'll see it shoots out water quite a bit differently than your traditional spray head. They come out in streams.
Okay.
And so it's, like I said, that way the water kind of is a bit heavier and kind of sits down on the soil a little bit. So whether you're putting in drip or refining some overhead sprays, this is the perfect time to do it because it's not hot.
Cool.
And you can kind of get to it before the plants get too big as well. So it's just all so easy.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. So check your irrigation or upgrade it or convert it. Do what you got to do. Get those MP rotator heads in there if you want. I know that they reduce your water usage. So that's great. And then Kevin, what is the next thing you want to tell us about?
Well, if you haven't pruned, if you have plants, we've talked endlessly about our dormant fruit trees and things like that. If you missed it and they're blooming and you're like, wow, it's still too big and overgrown, you can still prune it. Prune it now if you have to. And if you didn't, prune it. Same thing with your roses. If they're starting to kind of burst back to life and you haven't cut them, you can still cut them back a little bit and you're fine. Now, with me, when it comes to the citrus, this is one of the best times of the year for me to prune. Now, I don't go super aggressive unless it's a sucker that's coming out of the base of that trunk, then I go wild on it. Mm-hmm. But when you compare your pruning your citrus trees to pruning, like, say, a plum tree or whatever, it's quite a bit different. You can get pretty aggressive with those plums, those apples and apricots and things, your peaches. You can prune them real hard in the dormant season. But with citrus, you just prune to shape. You cut out any dead wood, diseased wood, those suckers, you get them out. Less than desirable growth you can remove, but you don't have to be too extreme. You're really just going to be giving it a haircut and pruning it to shape, bring that size in just a little bit. But for them, it's pretty easy in comparison.
Okay, awesome. So pruning, can't ever forget about that, right?
Yep. So it could also be some of your herbaceous perennials that they've made kind of staggered their way through the cold winter and they're looking a little beat, but you're seeing signs of growth. You'll see this a lot with some of your salvias. Tons of our perennial plants that we have around here. Mm. That survive the winter, but maybe not look so great. And so you can cut those back pretty hard, depending upon the plant. And then that makes way for some fresh growth. A good example of that is some of our perennial grasses. So those are the ones that come back each and every year. Maybe not an evergreen grass, but a perennial grass. One that looked really good all spring and summer and into the fall. Looks kind of dead through the winter. But now they're kind of waking up from hibernation. Like me after a long weekend, or a bear in the woods. They're waking up. And so they want to put out new growth. And if all that old growth is in the way, then all the new leaves have to push past that. So they're just not going to be as vibrant and healthy. So this is the perfect time. So if you have like that, purple fountain grass, that's people just love that around here. Perfect example of one that you would actually cut it back pretty low, maybe between your ankle to even below your knee, pretty low. And then that's going to allow the plant to just flourish, create new foliage as things warm up. And then you'll be like, ooh, that's a good thing. I know pruning can be hard because we feel like more is better, but sometimes less dead material around your plant is better. So that way all the fresh growth can emerge. So this is the perfect time of the year to kind of get in there and freshen up a little bit.
Right.
And pruning's a big part of that.
Right on. Thank you, Kevin. Cool.
My pleasure.
Okay. What else? What do you want to talk about next? I know you got more.
There's so much to cover. I'll just jump into one aspect of it. Fertilizing. So everyone always asks, hey, when's a good time to fertilize this, fertilize that? And it kind of can depend on the plants. But specifically right now, as things warm up, as that soil warms, it's going to drive just increased root growth of our plants. That's going to support all this new foliage, new growth. And we mentioned there are plants that are in full bloom right now. So things like your azaleas, camellias, your rhododendrons, even your edibles, your blueberries, your other acid lovers.
So to you, that means that they're sucking up all those nutrients.
They're using it. Absolutely. Okay. And so they're going to need more for their health. And there's more other all your other plants as well that we're going to talk about. They're going to want to feed as well. And so even if you had really good soil last year and your plants did pretty well, this is a good time to consider giving them that maybe their first dose of the season of a nice light organic fertilizer. You can go liquid, you can go granule, but give them something that that will nourish them. And that will give you better health, more leaves, more structure and all that, but just healthy blossoms in a longer growing season for them, at least as far as how healthy they can be. So nourish your plants right now. Fertilizing right now for most of our plants in our landscapes can be beneficial. Trees, shrubs, they're all waking up. They're starting to grow. Even ones that are evergreen and kind of just hung out through the winter and were stagnant, they're now coming to life as well. And you're going to start to see new growth on your shrubs. I've got some boxwoods on the portion of my house. I've noticed a lot of new growth these last few weeks. And so even something as simple as a boxwood, a buxus, they will require some nourishment as well. So your fruit trees, citrus as well, your edibles and your landscape, they are going to want to be fed also early and often. That's why I liked our Brad Gates interview from a week before. He kind of mentioned, hey, you don't have to give them a huge amount of, nutrition all at once. You can give them some and then kind of pace it out through the season so that way they're getting a nice constant but light dose of nutrition. And then those plants will suck it up as they need it. And life's good. So right now, perfect time of the year to start thinking about, okay, I need to fertilize my trees, my shrubs, all the basics. Feed your plants right now. It's perfect time.
Okay, cool. Wow, that's awesome. And yeah, I didn't really think that you were going to go there, but it makes sense. And I like understanding why you're bringing it up. You're saying that there's rapid growth happening in the plants because it's warmer, they're liking it, they're going for it, and they're using that. So that makes sense to me. I like that.
Well, it's like I used to notice that, like, when I garden a lot or when I do something really physical from exercising.
Oh, sure.
Then you're like, oh man, I got an appetite.
I know.
Like, my appetite's...
You should be hungry after a good workout.
And so I think the plants are the same way. They are... You know, they're growing and they got a lot going on. Yep. And there's a lot of energy involved, and that requires nutrition. And so I think that providing that nutrition to the plants is going to ensure big, bountiful blossoms, healthy growth, healthy plants. And when the plants have access to nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and then all the micronutrients as well, your calcium, your magnesium, your boron and zinc and whatnot. And when they have those nutrients, even in small amounts or the necessary amounts, it really allows them to be more resilient to stress, to just be more resilient to all the things that can maybe pull them back from being what they could be. So it's just like exercising or nourishment for our own selves. We want to eat healthy. We want to give our plants a nice healthy meal as well. So this is the perfect time of year to, you know, serve them up a good meal. And it starts with fertilizer. It could be even things like manures and and adding compost. So for instance, that kind of adds right into my next mm-hmm. idea. This has to do with soil building,
okay.
The fertilizing, the organics, that's part of it. But when I planted my apple tree and I planted those roses, I added a bunch of compost. Lucky for me, I have a compost pile in my backyard, yeah. The pride of my life, the one thing I'm most proud of.
How's it doing?
It's doing great.
Yeah?
Yep, yep, okay. Yep. She's
good.
Lovely. She's letting. She listens to me. But no, and it works out. It's just one of those things where, you know, being an avid gardener doesn't have to be hugely expensive. And I think anytime that you can create your own compost at home, it's awesome. So if you don't have a pile to take from, this is actually an amazing time of the year where if you're taking clippings or you have your cool season garden is coming to an end, any fallen fruit, sticks, twigs, things that you've pruned away, maybe it's time to start your own compost pile. Because then you can maybe be bragging about your pile to somebody else and feeling
sure.
pretty good. It's just nice, actually. If anything, just to be convenient. I don't mind going down and buying some really nice bagged up compost or getting it. But having it on hand is just so easy. It just saved me a trip. And I give it away. I'm always making more. And so
You've
I added
got a big pile.
I
too.
Do. It's a big pile.
Now,
of,
let me ask you this, because when I look at it, it looks kind of like a lot of the dry bits are on the outside. So when you want to use some, do you actually like open it up and dig in there a little bit?
So you want to add some. So there's four main ingredients to a good compost pile, and actually
okay.
even a hidden fifth ingredient.
What? I thought it was just nitrogen. Oh God, it's like dry bits.
You're on the right track, buddy. You're right there.
I could get this. How do I not know this right now? Tell me.
So the four plus one main ingredients to make your own compost pile. First, the minimum size needs to be 3 feet by 3 feet by 3 feet. So
right.
size does matter for compost. If it's too small, it just might not break down quite the same speed you might want. So make good size, but really it's green material, brown material, air, water, and then the fifth ingredient is just time. So the green material is
I'm so overthinking it.
Yeah, all the green stuff is your plant material, your produce, kitchen scraps, eggshells, even coffee grounds can be considered green, and that's known for being higher and rich in nitrogen.
Okay,
all the dry, all the sticks and twigs and leaves, dried leaves that are fallen.
Is that carbon?
That has a lot of carbon.
Okay,
right, and you want them in a 50-50 balance. So you know, 1-to-1. You mix those up. They have air and water, and you add a little water. The air comes from it's in there. And then if it settles down over time to increase the air, you can flip it and chop it, and that'll actually speed things up. And of course, the one ingredient that you don't add but just exists is time. So if you're doing it right, 3 to 6 months, boom, you go from a pile of weird sticks and grass clippings and kitchen waste to the black gold, the sweet, just luscious, fluffy soil that you've made compost, that you've made rich in organic matter, rich in microbes, microbial life, and that is what will supercharge your soil. And I do it twice a year, and I think that is the way to do it. Add some, do a little top dressing, and this is especially for your edibles or anything that's flowering heavily, like your roses, those heavy feeders. Feed them in the summer, nice couple inches of compost on top. Maybe lightly scratch it in. We call this a top dressing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go wild and, you know, get a tool to grind it up in there deep. Just you can fork it in, flip it in, or just scratch it into the first few inches.
Because we want that layering action.
Yeah. And then they kind of just dissolve and mix together. And that, I'm telling you, compost, compost, compost. It's the best. But you know what compost's friend is? They hang out with? Mulch.
Mulch.
Yeah. Okay. And so that's another thing right now. So once
Before we talk to mulch, yeah. I do want to know, how do you dig your compost out of your big pile? Do you have to like dig into it?
Oh yeah. So it'll break down. And so I'll show you a picture.
Is it like more in the middle?
I have stuff? So some people will do like a three pile or three bin system where they'll start a pile, then they wait a few months, start another one, wait a few months and start it. So there's always one pile that you're adding to, one that's almost done, and then one that is done and ready to harvest. At our school, we kind of have we have space for one big pile.
Right, that's what
so
I've seen.
So we chop it, we flip it, we do our best. And then at this time of the year, there's a huge portion of it that's not done. So we dig down to the bottom of the pile. Okay. And then we sift it. We use some trays that we have left over from the nursery that have these little small holes. If you don't have those, you can use metal wire that you can make your own. But I like the trays because they're light. And we just put shovels in there. We sift it. Whatever doesn't go through those holes, it's tossed back into the pile for a little more cooking. And then we're off and running. And what falls through is crumbly, these wonderful little just cookie crumbs of organic matter. And compost, and I'm telling you, man, we just add it to the top of our soil, and the plants just love it. And it's free to us.
Cool.
And if you don't have any free, you can go. Of course, you can get some. There's tons of places, of course, Green Acres.
Okay, thank you for explaining, because I was just curious how you actually like get it out of your.
Yeah,
pile.
You can sift it. If you have the other style, then it's just you have a pile that's just done. So for my pile, I keep stretching it at my house. So one end of the pile is all new stuff. Then the back end is all harvestable. So I don't have to even sift anything. I just scoop it up at the end because it's been sitting long enough. Super easy, barely an inconvenience.
barely an inconvenience.
I love it.
Okay, so let's talk mulch, because you're always saying how great mulch is. Mulch, 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 right, is your thing.
As good as compost is, mulch is equally as wonderful and delightful to hang with. And you can get all types of mulch. I mean, different varieties and styles, different types of wood.
This is important for a few reasons, right? Because
so many reasons.
It's protecting your soil.
Yep.
It's keeping, it's like protecting it sort of, right?
It does so many things. So I hate weeds. And I'm sure anyone listening who gardens, they don't want weeds in there.
Keeps
so
the weeds
whether
down.
It's your ornamental landscape or an edible one, weeds stink. And so mulch is one of the best ways to mitigate the influence of weeds in your garden, to kind of slow them and even kind of smother them out completely. Or they do pop up. If it's a nice thick layer of mulch, they're not rooted. So you can pop them right out.
Mm.
I like having at least 3, if not 4 inches of mulch in my landscape. I know it sounds...
That's a lot.
But it breaks down. And so if you have just like 1-inch, 2-inch layer of mulch, you'll see weeds pop up through it. It may not be... as effective. So 3 to 4 inches, you don't pile it up against your plants. You give them a little space, but around the root zone and all that, the mulch, I mean, it insulates the soil from temperature swings so that the soil doesn't get too hot, doesn't get too cold. It reduces the evaporation, so less water usage. And then it'll actually break down and become soil. The bottom of it is just, it like supercharges the microbes. So all the stuff that's in the compost below might make its way up. Insects, invertebrates, fungi, bacteria, they'll start breaking it down. The FBI, they'll start breaking it down. And then even that mulch will then kind of feed into soil fertility. A couple of years ago, you and I, we went to the festival for mandarins, and there was a farmer there, and he was talking about all his success and his huge mandarin trees and how they're, he showed me pictures, how they're just packed full and they're just delicious and they're just high quality. They've had them tested. And we're like, what are you doing? Are you fertilizing a ton? You must be fertilizing like crazy out there. And he's like, no, not so much. He's like, I just believe in mulch. He's like, I mulch heavily and it's been years. And now the mulch from years past has now broken down, become amazing soil. And above that is more mulch doing the same thing. So it really can kind of contribute to over time to soil fertility. It also reduces soil erosion, soil compaction. It does so many things that's beneficial. And so if you can get mulch in this time of year, perfect. Layered on thick and heavy, but just don't leave it against the trunks or stems of your plants. Let them breathe a little bit.
Cool. Leave that donut there. I think that's what Julie calls it, right?
Yeah, sure.
The donut around the tree. All right. So, cool. Can never forget about mulch. I never will, Kevin. I promise
I appreciate
you.
That.
I'll
the
never
sincerity.
Forget mulch.
Never let go.
What's your last bit you want to get into today?
Gosh, there's so much. I mean, of course, get any weeds you see, get on them right now.
Okay.
But I would suggest get out to your local nursery, whatever it may be. It doesn't have to be the GA, but if it does, that's cool. Mm-hmm. But I was there this way. It's just fun to go see what's in bloom right now. Like I mentioned how there's some things in bloom, some vines that I noticed that are looking really killer right now. So if you want some color right now, the vines that I saw were Hardenbergia, just looked, I mean, incredible. They were so pretty. I saw a potato vine today actually related to potatoes. I don't think you get any edible potatoes on it, but it is a solanum. Beautiful. Just gorgeous. It was really cool. I saw a lot of really interesting things out there. For shrubs, of course, we talked about the camellias, azaleas. I even saw now butylon, the flowering maples. Now, not a true maple, but it doesn't matter. They're gorgeous. They have these little lantern flowers that hang upside down. So for me, it's flower time. There's some flowers that are going to go good for the next few months where they like the 70s to 80s, the pansies, the viola, snapdragons and things like that. And then they even already, I even saw marigolds and petunias, all the heat lovers that could actually will have a much longer bloom season. They can tolerate the heat. Those are ready to rock right now. One plant that I really kind of caught my eyes, hellebores. And I was like, hell yeah.
Okay.
There was one there called, God, it was like Pippa's Purple. And look them up when you get a chance, okay. Austin. Hellebores. Look hella cool. Sorry to do that joke twice.
I think you just like saying it.
I do. There's also hellebores like Glenda's Gloss. They just looked cool. They're really unique, where like some of the flower petals almost look like colorful leaves. There was just a lot. Even if you're in the shade, begonias. I mean, and patients are going to be coming in soon once things warm up a little more. So there's kind of like all these little problem solvers right now. So color. I love it in my ornamental gardens, but I also love just popping those things in to the edible garden as well. And just everything out there was, I mean, the stalk, little flower, dude, it's like perfume, but it's so fragrant and just delicious. I was kind of really impressed by like just the amount. I'm like, oh, everything's coming to life right now.
Okay.
So
you're coming into life.
I am. Dude, I'm springing to life, which is nuts because my wife is due to give birth to the twins. Like any day now.
Any day now?
Any day now, bud.
Oh, boy.
We're on baby watch.
She's ready to pop.
Oh, yeah. Two little spuds on their way.
I'm so excited for you.
It'll be cool. We're going to name one Rudy and the other one Leaf.
You already have names?
No, I'm just kidding. That'd be cool. I'm just teasing. But so for me, there's a lot to be excited about for spring. And I hope our listeners are getting juiced up
for
as well.
Sure. You get me excited. I'm already out in my backyard. I'm trying to get this place ready for a big season. So I'll take your advice. I'll go look around. I do want to get some color in here right away.
It's fun.
And get things started because I'm itching to get the vegetables in, but I know it's not quite time yet.
If it's you're thinking peppers and tomatoes, you might be at the early end of doing it. But if you still want to get other things in, like peas and cool, there's still some cool season growing that you can do. Potatoes right now, a great plant to plant.
Okay.
There's so many. Actually, I was at the nursery and I noticed strawberries coming in like wild right now, and I was like, ooh. And we grow a lot of strawberries at the school. I think we do the Albion mostly. Then we have some other varieties as well. And I think they're all, we like to go with the everbearing style because that way it just has strawberries. We had strawberries
all
from
year.
Spring, summer to fall. And we didn't stop eating them until the end of January because it was just too cold. They stopped ripening. And they were like, all right, we cut them back, let them go dormant for a little while. And now they're springing back to life. So what we're doing is we're nipping off those flower buds and letting the plant get more, putting more effort into leaf production. And we'll keep doing that for a few more weeks. And then we'll stop. And then we'll get some strawberries.
Nice.
But I saw a bunch of them come in there, and a lot of different varieties too. Even the fruit sleeves are still in there. So I'm like, ooh, I might get a few more blueberries.
Get more?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all the time we have for this week. Kevin, I just want to thank you for giving us some things to be doing in our garden right now. And I can tell this is going to be a good season.
You know it.
So much to be excited for. And Kevin, I'm going to let you take us out now.
Awesome. Well, we've talked about how fall is for planting. And if you missed out on last fall for getting your garden in, right now is a perfect time to do it as well. Plenty to choose from. Lots of options out there. Plenty to do in your own garden as well, like we talked about. I am getting excited. I think this might be the best spring, summer growing season yet.
Yes.
From the vibe I'm getting from other gardeners and growers. Even my students seem a little chipper and a little ready for it. So I'm looking forward to it. I think people are going to have just a fabulous summer. I'm hoping for a good spring with good weather, and we can just all get off to just a lightning start. So, garden friends, I want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank Austin, the illustrated man, the snake plant man himself, for another great episode, a wonderful edit. Austin, you do so much on
thank
the show.
You.
I don't think people realize, man, you put a lot of effort in.
Well, you've been giving me props a lot. You've been,
I know, there you go.
You know, thank you.
It's much deserved. Yeah. And so, thank you to you. Thanks for all of our listeners for tuning in. Please share us with a friend if you could. We'd truly appreciate it. And until next time, garden friends, please get out in that garden, get some of these things done, get that irrigation figured out. Attack those weeds. fertilize, mulch, compost, maybe get a few flowers in there if you can. Until next time, garden friends, I want to wish you happy gardening to you all. And please, never stop growing. See you next time.
All right.